Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, July 21st. I'm Ray Graff. Today we focus on a unique topic. It's one that our ancestors mastered. Open fire cooking is the subject of the show today. And we have a trio of area experts who will hold us to the flame. Michael Lappi, Josh Coletto, and John Sconzo are in the studio here to answer your questions about open fire cooking. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, and they brought some goodies as well. It's 800-348-2551, or you may email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number, 800-348-2551. Flames and your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It is a Food Friday, and the subject of today's program is a rather unique one, open fire cooking. Here to help us learn about this practice are Michael Lappi, Josh Coletto, and John Sconzo. Michael Lappi is the instructor of culinary arts and meat processing at SUNY Cobleskill. He's the former owner and chef of Church and Main Restaurant in Canajoharie. Josh Coletto is a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America, who currently works with the catering company Heirloom Fire. And John Sconzo is the main organizer of the Fire Feast at the Farm event happening at Pitney Meadows in Saratoga Springs, New York, on August 1st, which Michael, Josh, and numerous other chefs will be taking part in. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. The number to call is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about open fire cooking, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. And somebody's already emailed the program. This is from Linda in North Carolina. Tell Mike Lappi that his food is the best. He's a wonderful chef. I'm his mother-in-law and wishes he lived in Beaufort, North Carolina. He can cook anything and make it delicious.
Thanks, Linda.
How much did you pay your mom-in-law for that one?
Nothing. That's all free.
That's high praise indeed. You sound like you're used to that sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well done. Well, nice to have you guys here. All right, before we talk about all the cool stuff you brought, let's talk a little bit about Fire Feast at the Farm. And, John, you're the main organizer of this thing. It's at Pitney Meadows in Saratoga Springs on August 1st. What is it?
It's a benefit. It's a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser for the Pitney Meadows Community Farm, which is a farm that's in the city of Saratoga, the only urban farm in Saratoga Springs. And it's a preservation of a farm that's been around for almost a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
And the idea is that this will focus on the education for future agriculturalists, whether it be future farmers or consumers. We have a community garden that's already in place and going great guns. We're working on a children's garden. And like I said, we want to teach future farmers. We have some farmers right now who've taught a lot of the better farms in the area how to farm well. And well, that's by farming food that's good, clean, and fair.
So this is to raise public awareness. Obviously, there's going to be some food involved.
Oh, absolutely.
What do we got?
Oh, we have all sorts of things. We have seafood, meat, vegetables. We have five fire pits. Then the fire pits were designed and built by these two gentlemen over here, Josh and Michael. Mm-hmm. And we have chefs, well-known, internationally known chefs coming from around the country to collaborate with our local chefs. Each of the fire pits that we have will have a guest chef and one or two local chefs, as well as culinary students to prepare a particular course. And they will go in order. We have Chef Alex Harrell from Angeline in New Orleans is coming up. He's going to roast some oysters and barbecue some shrimp like they do in New Orleans. And we have chefs from Henry Street Tap Room and a bartender from Henry Street Tap Room working with them as well. And for each course, we will also have a cocktail prepared specifically for that course.
Oh, fantastic. And who is doing all of the cocktails?
Oh, we have a great cocktail lineup, too. I have people like Eamon Rocky, who came up through 11 Madison Park, opened up Bettany, which went on to 2 stars, opened up most recently at Bettany, which had 1 Michelin star and was one of my favorite restaurants. He is the general manager and in charge of the beverage programs at those places, the Aska he opened up, which is now Michelin 2 stars. The guy's amazing, both in terms of running a front of a house and running a beverage program. Chase White was the head bartender at the restaurant Saison in San Francisco for 3 years. Huh. That's a 3 Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah.
My son, LJ Sconzo, is coming up to create a cocktail for the Striped Bass course. He is currently a bartender at 11 Madison Park, which is this year been named the number one restaurant in the world by the world's 50 best restaurants list.
Well, that's pretty good. What kind of a cocktail will go with the Striped Bass?
A spruce tip sour.
A spruce tip sour.
Yes, it's going to be a combination of a gin base,
right,
with a spruce or pine liqueur. Okay. And a couple other things. I don't want to give away all the secrets.
All right, fair enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551. John Sconzo is here. He is the main organizer of the Fire Feast at the Farm, and that's at Pitney Meadows in Saratoga Springs on August 1st. Also joining us, some of the brains behind the fire pits, Michael Lappi, who is an instructor of culinary arts at Meat Processing at SUNY Cobleskill. Josh Coletto is a grad of the Culinary Institute who currently works with the catering company Heirloom Fire. And Michael and Josh, you guys are in charge of the pits. How big is a fire pit at an event like this?
They're not huge fire pits. They just have to be big enough to hold maybe 2 pigs. So, you know, 5 by 8 for the pig pits. We have lamb pits that are just too walled because the lambs kind of go on a big iron cross hanging over the pit themselves. We have smaller pits for striped bass. We're going to do beef loins on a rotisserie style on a spit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great. That sounds awesome. You brought things, and they smell phenomenal. You brought beer as well, which is delicious. We've already tried that. Tell us what you brought, and then we'll get to the phones. 800-348-2551.
So what I've brought today is some local chanterelles that I foraged in Sprakers, New York, which I made some pickled chanterelles. I did a chanterelle salad with some fire roasted corn and hard goat cheese and some arugula from the Pitney Meadows Farm Gardens.
Mm.
We also did some toasts with some four-fat fowl camembert, some guanciale from a pig that I harvested live from SUNY Cobleskill.
Guanciale is the bacon?
Cheek bacon from the...
I tried.
Yes.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really delicious.
And to top it off, I have a pretty rare vegetable, which is in the succulent family, which is a gretty, which is something you don't find normally at any, which was grown by Tom Takas in Palatine Bridge.
Really? And so you have to grow it in a greenhouse?
It's not in a greenhouse, but it's one of the vegetables you rarely see that any farmer will grow.
Not only have I never seen one, I've never heard of one.
Yeah.
Could you show me what it is?
The gretty is on top, and it's in the succulent family. It has a nice crisp vegetal flavor.
Yeah.
Reminds me a little of purslane.
Yeah, like purslane, yeah.
All right, I got to try that. Let's get to the phones. 800. Oh, and the beer.
The beer
is delicious.
The beer we're drinking now is a spruce tip IPA that I made from some spruce tips I found down the road in the woods.
Just the tips off spruce trees?
Yeah, in the early season, they come out on the trees. They're just bright green little tips. They're soft. They're squishy. You can just eat them. You can just eat them. Sometimes I'll use them as a seasoning, throw them in something.
So you are a forager?
Yes.
You do. You like that. We've done shows on that, and it's amazing how popular it really is.
It's so much fun.
So you take the spruce tips and you brew the beer with them.
Yeah, and you know, when you're putting the hops in beer, when you're normally brewing beer, I would add some spruce along with the hops at different points.
You know, it's funny. There are some hops that automatically have piney sort of tastes. I know there's one of my favorite IPAs is Titan IPA out of Colorado, and I don't know what hops they use, but it's got a very piney scent and taste as well. So sort of you skip the middleman and you go right to the spruce.
Yeah, and you know, when you pick the spruce off the tree in the bag, it smells like hops too. So
amazing.
They're similar.
The things you learn on this program. You guys ready to take some calls?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now you got to make sure you're fairly close to the microphone when we take the calls, and then Zach the engineer won't thrash you or me, and it works out really well. 800-348-2551. Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on first.
Hi, Ray. When I rebuilt my house over a period of 20 years, I put 5 fireplaces back in, and I had an indoor bake oven, and I just completed a bake oven that is outdoors, but the entrance to it is from inside, so the heat stays outside. And when you travel around, we have a reflector oven. They can explain what that is, where you put your chicken or whatever, and you turn it, and it reflects the heat from the fireplace. But I have a little piece of advice or evidence or whatever. When you go to Sturbridge or Brimfield or one of these places, not Brimfield, but Sturbridge or one of these other places, and they're using a bake oven. And we do pizza in the bake oven. We can do six at a time. We leave the fire in the bake oven, and I put a small can of water in to help distribute the heat. But the women that demonstrate don't normally, they say they stick their arm in to tell the temperature and all that. It turns out that when you're burning a bake oven, the bricks turn black. And okay. If you remember Fahrenheit 451, well, that's carbon. And when the bricks turn back to red on the surface anyway, your oven has reached a temperature of basically 451 degrees. Okay. And then, because that's a very hard thing to determine without having an oven thermometer or whatever. And yeah. then you cook it for burn it for a little longer if you're doing pizza. But okay. that was my hint. Was that?
That's cool. Do you have a question about open fire cooking?
Well, not really, because we do it all the time.
Ah, okay.
You know, reflector ovens. They might want to talk about that a little bit.
All right,
that would be something that would be worthwhile.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. Well, in the 30 seconds before the break, reflector ovens. Thoughts?
Josh.
You know, I haven't much used a reflector oven myself, but it sounds like Mark really
likes
the reflector oven, and
he's got five fire pits, right?
Yeah, that's pretty serious.
Good for Mark. All right, Mark wins some bonus prizes. Let's points anyway. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Michael Lappy is here. Josh Coletto and John Sconzo. We talk about open fire cooking and fire feast at the farm at Pitney Meadows. We'll be back with more calls.
Support for WMT comes from Equinox Farm. Greens are served in restaurants spanning from Columbia County to Boston. Products available for wholesale. 413-229-2266. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family owned since 1948. Offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage. Open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. Field Goods. Local produce from the Hudson Valley delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting small sustainable farms, field-goods.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and No Moo Dairy Free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge and more, harolds.com. And Terrapin Restaurant. Serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week in a historic renovated church building in the heart of Rhinebeck Village, terrapinrestaurant.com.
Vox Pop, it's Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551, the telephone number, and we talk open fire cooking today with Michael Lappy and Josh Coletto and John Sconzo. There is an event coming up August 1st at Pitney Meadows in Saratoga called Fire Feast at the Farm. These gentlemen are part of that event. And this carrot, whatever you did to this carrot, you did very well. Tell us about that.
Well, it started with the farmer just growing.
It's a carrot, clearly.
Beautiful carrots.
All right, I'm with you so far.
And then I took the carrot, green still on, and I just draped them into a fire pit, let them sit on the coals until they were burnt, blackened, and threw a little salt and harissa on them.
It's super delicious. Gosh, that's great. And then I'm not a huge mushroom fan, I'll admit it, but the pickled chanterelles are really phenomenal.
Thank you.
Tell us about the spices you put in that.
We did some maple syrup from the Darrow School that was harvested from the Darrow School, and a little bit of malt vinegar that Josh has made himself out of some beer mash.
out of beer, in other words, beer mash, that you're done with the beer mash and then you use it.
I had some extra sitting around, so I just let it open ferment, wild ferment, until it turns into vinegar.
Fantastic. Really nice. Okay, so let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Dave in Burnt Hills. Dave, you're on. Hello, Dave. Dave. Hello, Dave. Oh, Dave, you waited all that time. Let's go to Vicky in Woodstock. Vicky.
Hi.
Hi.
Just great timing because I'm just coming back from the store, and I picked up two porterhouse pork chops that are local and also antibiotic-free and all that. So I need some help. I want to do them traditional fire, which is all I have anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, and for also seasoning, too.
Simple is better.
Yes, simple is better. And my recommendation is don't cook them beyond 140 degrees.
140.
Yeah, stay under 140, and pork is always delicious.
Yeah, you don't have to make them into hockey pucks.
And that's a common misconception, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Vicky, thanks a lot for the call, and good luck with the chops. That sounds delicious. 800-348-2551, the telephone number, 800-348-2551. So what do you use as your medium in the fire pit?
As far as wood goes?
Wood or charcoal, what do you use?
I just use hardwood.
Really? It doesn't matter, cherry or apple, or what do you...
You know, when you're cooking over fire, it doesn't matter so much that you're... The type of wood, the smoke. You know, if I was to slow barbecue something, I would be more concerned with the type of wood and the smoke. But open fire cooking, not a big of a deal as...
Okay. Let's go over to Phyllis in Sprakers. Phyllis, you're on. Hello. We lost Phyllis. It's one of those days. All right, let's try another carrot here. So you're not supposed to eat the chanterelles that you brought raw?
No, not raw.
Why?
Probably wouldn't be good for your stomach. You wouldn't die or anything, but it may cause some gastric upset.
Have you ever done it?
No, I have not.
You want to do it now?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm all for it.
Oh, there's Phyllis. Let's go to... Right. Oh, hello, Phyllis and Sprinkers. You're on.
Hi. I wanted to ask Chef Michael about preparing the striped bass for the fire pit.
The striped bass. John might know better what is prepared with the dish, but what we've built a pit that is kind of about 5x3, and we're going to cook it about 3 feet over the coals.
Yeah, the person who's going to be mainly responsible for that is Chef Jamie Young from Sunday in Brooklyn, Brooklyn. And he's going to cook the fish whole, okay? And I know he's going to do a great job of it.
So you really don't know exactly how he'll do it?
Well, other than cooking them whole, again, he's going to keep it relatively simple.
How high over the fire do we do this? And how do you... Do you just have a stick and hold it over the fire? How do you do this with an open fire?
We designed this specific pit as there's a grate system where they'll hold the fish, and you can flip the fish in the grate system, so there's no extra maneuvering the fish. That's the way we designed that one.
And the grate system is, if you've ever been to the Washington County Fair and you've seen how they do the chickens in the Argyle Fire Department, well, those are the grates we're using.
Oh, there you go.
They put the fish will be between two flat grates.
Yeah.
They'll be connected, and they could just simply flip it. So you're not actually flipping the fish, you're flipping the grate.
The whole grate.
Yes.
Phyllis, do you want to follow up at all?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551, the telephone number, 800-348-2551. And we're joined today by Josh Sconzo, who is the main John Sconzo, who is the main organizer of the... I told you I would do that. I'll just call you Doc. Doc Sconzo, the main organizer of the Fire Feast at the Farm event at Pitney Meadows in Saratoga Springs. Josh Coletto is a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America, and he's working now at the catering company Heirloom Fire. What do you do at Heirloom Fire?
My general job at Heirloom Fire is I run a lot of the charcuterie station and do stationary appetizers, so... I'm responsible for setting up big displays and explaining to people how we cure meats and slicing them. And
I guess my question was, what does Heirloom Fire do?
Heirloom Fire, we do a lot of weddings and parties where we do open fire cooking in similar in ways to like the Argentinian style of gaucho cooking.
Yeah. Explain that for us.
So we'll show up. We have apparatus built by people that work for the company, and we cook different things. We have chickens that hang from a basket where we spin them over the fire. We have spits where we cook whole pigs or beef legs. We do lamb over the fire, just the Argentinian style on the cross. We have Infornillo ovens that we cook different vegetables, different, we bake in them. We do breads in outdoor ovens, so all open fire cooking.
What is an Infornillo oven? Obviously based on Inferno, so there's fire involved, right?
Yeah, so an Infornillo oven is basically three steel plates, and there's a fire on the bottom plate and a fire on the top plate, and the middle plate is used for cooking.
Wow. Mm. Fantastic. So this is a real throwback to olden times.
And we're going to be doing lambs that way here. Chef Joel Veland out of Connecticut, along with Chef David Britton from Glens Falls in Saratoga, will be cooking lambs that way.
800-348-2551. I see one more bottle of beer over there. We tried the Red Rye IPA, which was delicious, and we tried the Spruce Tip beer, which was very delicious as well. And what's that one?
This is a black pepper saison.
Oh, done. Bring it. Let's try a little sip of that. Sure. It's always good radio. When time does the event start on August 1st, by the way, Doc?
For the general public, it starts at 6 p.m. We do have a VIP hour for sponsors starting at 5 p.m., mm-hmm. and it should go to roughly around 10 p.m.
And how do people find out more?
We are selling tickets on Eventbrite, and if they go to the eventbrite.com and search for Fire Feast on the Farm, they will get it. So if they go to Pitney Meadows CommunityFarm.org,
that's a good jumping off point.
Yeah, you'll also find it from there.
This is... what is this beer?
Black pepper saison.
All right, let's try a sip. It's nice. Who made that?
I did.
You made it all. You made all the beer?
All the beer.
Oh, good for you. I gotta say, the carrot that you prepared, is very spicy. It's making my head sweat. What is in it?
That's the harissa itself.
What? Okay, and tell us what harissa is.
Harissa, it's essentially the ketchup of Morocco. It's a chili sauce. It has honey, lots of dried chilies, piquillo peppers, sherry vinegar.
Mmm, that's delicious. Wow, it's really good, but it's got a lingering afterburn, I would say.
It's not always that spicy.
No. you did that just to torment the host. So, Michael, you, in your educational vocation, you are an instructor of the culinary arts and meat processing at SUNY Cobleskill.
Yes.
Is that a popular topic at SUNY Cobleskill?
Oh, definitely. There's nothing more gratifying for me is to be able to bring a live animal through the doors of our plant and have a student watch it from a live form until we could bring it into a restaurant setting, and they'll see the progression through the animal from every step, which is one of the most valuable things for me, is to be able to show a student that's going to be going out into the world as a chef or a meat processor, they can transform things into different ways from a live form.
It's really, it's a skill that I think a lot of people take for granted.
Definitely.
And I imagine it opens a lot of eyes among the students the first couple of days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I have a great student base and, you know, have grown to know a lot of these students, you know, outside of class, and they're, you know, really taking things beyond where they started.
Oh, that's terrific. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551, the number. Peter in Albany. Peter, you're on.
Hey, I just wanted to, I joined you late because I was listening to a WAMC podcast, and I wasn't sure if you'd covered it, but with open fire, and I love to cook with open fire, but cooking corn in the husk, charcoal, wood fire is something that I've done since my grandfather taught me back in Del Mar and 60 years ago, and it's amazing. If you cook the corn in the husk on open fire, sometimes until it pops, but it's just amazing, and you can make compound butters if you like, or just traditional with rolling it in butter and salt and pepper and whatever you like, but I just wanted to encourage people to do that.
Definitely. The salad that we made today is with like a fire roasted corn, which that's kind of where I was going for when I made the salad, is to have that corn flavor, the fire roasted corn flavor, come through in the salad.
Oh, I got to try that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm sorry I'm late, but and the notion of the Argentinian restaurant is, you know, I've been to a few, and it's absolutely amazing.
Peter, back in the old days in Del Mar, did you have fire pits out in the backyard of your grandfather's?
Absolutely.
Did you ever throw potatoes directly in?
Say it again?
Did you ever throw potatoes directly in? I was at a fire. A friend of mine had a fire years ago, pit out in the yard, took potatoes, threw them right in the fire. And they blacken up, but then you hollow them out, and they're quite amazing.
One of the things that's not...
Oh, no kidding. No, I have not done that, but I will this year.
one of the things that's not intuitive in cooking over live fire is the idea of cooking directly on the coals.
Right.
I love to cook a good steak right on the coals.
Now, how can you do that without burning the steak?
Well, that's an interesting question. The thing is, you're not the fat isn't going down, dripping up, creating a flame that's coming up to burn. Okay, it's just incinerating right there, and it actually comes out surprisingly well and non-charred.
I would imagine the timing, though, is a bit of an educational learning curve there.
You have to pay attention to it, no doubt, but the results are phenomenal.
But you can, if I say, hey, Doc, get me a medium well, you can do that reliably?
Oh. Yeah.
Definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Michael, you say so you can do that as well?
Yeah, definitely. It's
if I can do it, he can do it.
Once you know when you're cooking meat what to look for, you can always judge it.
And this event that is going on at Pitney Meadows, is this the first of its kind?
It is.
And are we looking to make this a yearly event?
We'll see.
Really?
Yeah, potentially.
A lot of work?
Oh, yeah. Well, this year more than most, too, because everything is from scratch.
Yeah.
We built the fire pits. We're building a high tunnel, which is where the event's actually going to be held inside of it to hold up to 300 people.
What do you mean a high tunnel?
It's basically a greenhouse, but not a glass-enclosed greenhouse. It's an arching tunnel, and we have planter boxes running along each side. The interior environment is controlled automatically by raising and lowering the sides and creating ventilation, and also the top, too.
So smoke will not be an issue, even though it is semi-indoors?
Well, the smoke is going to be outside.
Oh, it is?
The pits are outside the tunnel. Okay.
Well, what happens in the event of rain?
Well, it's still going to go on. Everybody who's going to be dining will be covered in the tunnel. Okay. The pits, we have ideas for covering them as well. Okay.
Yeah.
For that, but...
So you have contingency plans.
We do have some contingency plans.
Because it's been a rainy season.
It has been a rainy season.
Our number here is 800-348-2551 if you are concerned at all or interested in the secrets to unlocking the perfect fire cooking method. 800-348-2551. Tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break here, and then we'll try some of this delicious salad. It's Food Friday on WAMC. 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, announcing Outdoor Market on River Street, featuring farm-fresh produce and handmade goods every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., troymarket.org. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Warwick Valley Farmers Market, the 24th year of providing locally grown produce and farm-fresh food with 37 family farms and artisan kitchens and bakeries. Open Sundays, warwickvalleyfarmersmarket.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com.
It's Food Friday on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Ray Graff here. We're joined today by John Doc Sconzo, Josh Coletto, and Michael Lappy here. And the event is Fire Feast at the Farm. That's at Pitney Meadows in Saratoga on August 1st. And we're enjoying some open fire cooked food today. And this salad is unlike any other salad I've ever had. Michael, tell us about this.
This is corn from Barber's Farm in Middleburg, which I roasted over hickory last night. And I roasted some chanterelles over some hickory and incorporated some arugula from the Pitney Meadows Gardens and a little bit of hard goat cheese from the Adirondacks.
And it has a salad with a smoky flavor, I think, is a real winner. I mean, it really has a smoky taste.
Mm-hmm.
And this bread, this piece of bread you gave me, Josh, tell me what that is.
It's bread from the Placid Baker in Troy. Mm-hmm. It's a ciabatta. And then it has a slice of four-fat fowl, which is from Steventown, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that has some of the guanciale from Michael. And then the agretti on top as well, with some pickled mustard seeds, I think, thrown in there as well.
Really savory and really delicious. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. Judy in Burnt Hills. Judy, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
This may be a dumb question, so forgive me. When you were talking before about cooking the steak directly on the coals, did you literally mean placing steak right on the coals themselves?
I do. I would not do that unless the coals were either hardwood that you got yourself or natural hardwood. I wouldn't use that with, say, charcoal briquettes that have a lot of chemicals in them. But if it's a good, high-quality, real wood charcoal, then you can do that.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Judy, you think you'll try that?
I bet you my husband will.
Okay, but you better bring a couple of extra steaks just in case.
I like how you think.
Yeah, let us know how you did.
Have a great day.
You
bye-bye.
Too. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. You'll be responsible for many people ruining their steaks this weekend. I hope you know that, John. This is on you now.
Look it up online.
YouTube it. All right, let's go back to the phones and Joe in Del Mar. Joe.
Hey, guys. I'm curious. I heard you guys talking about curing meats, and I'm just curious if there's anything. I'm really intrigued about what I might be able to do at home on my own. So any ideas there?
Curing meats at home. Go ahead.
I would start with something like bacon. Bacon's easy, 5-day cure. And then it's easy to smoke.
Take us through the process.
Well, basically what I do is I'll make a 3%.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Bacon. And
bacon.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So what I do is I'll start out with a 3% salt ratio for my cure mixture with salt and pepper and some bay leaves. And I'll cure for roughly 5 days, flipping it daily. And as it cures, I check for firmness in the bacon.
All right. So curing is what?
Curing is preserving it. It's a preservation method using nitrites, salt, and pepper. And you don't necessarily need to use nitrites. You could use a celery juice or celery powder for a natural cure. But
which is using nitrites?
Yeah.
You don't do it without nitrites.
Celery juice is just unregulated. Yeah.
Okay.
Nitrites are regulated.
And you get but give us those who don't know anything about this. You get a tray and you put that stuff in a tray and you put the meat on top.
So what I do is a 3% weight. I weigh out my slab of bacon in grams and I do a 3% ratio with my cure mixture. And then I rub it on and let it go into the meat and I flip daily until I feel firmness in the bacon.
In the refrigerator?
Yeah, in the refrigerator. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yep.
You will do that.
Yeah, daily.
All right. And then what happens?
And then after the 5 days, I rinse it and I'll put it in the smoker. And once it's reached 140 degrees over, say I'll keep my temps under 200 degrees. And once the bacon has reached 200 degrees, I'll pull it and then refrigerate it and it's ready to go.
And why is that any more easy? Go ahead, Joe.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I remember like my ancient Italian relatives having like a leg of something hanging in the garage.
Well,
that's
a little more complex because then you're looking into nitrates, and nitrates is more of a time consuming process, which you need an environment that's effective for doing that.
And okay, give us a pointer on how to make that environment.
You're going to need a good airflow with a temperature ranging probably in the 50 to 60 degree range, and you're going to definitely need time.
There are a lot of good...
I mean, this is like for something like a prosciutto or a supersot or something like that. I mean, is that stuff reasonably doable without making yourself sick?
Well, yeah, if it's definitely doable without making yourself sick. You just need a chamber to do it, which a chamber is a box that's climate and humidity controlled.
There are a lot of good cookbooks on the subject of making charcuterie at home. Michael Ruhlman is an author you might want to look into for that as well. That'll give you all the details that you need. It's definitely doable.
Yeah, it's definitely doable.
But you need to buy equipment, or can you fashion your own box?
You can definitely fashion your own box out of an old refrigerator, old walk-in, or...
I would need to buy equipment.
So yeah. You would recommend that? No. You, the guy who throws steaks onto wood.
No, I mean, I would need to. I'm not that handy otherwise.
And there would be nothing worse than losing, say, a local prosciutto that you put all this time into making without making the, you know, procedural corrections to make it happen.
All right, Joe?
I'm just curious, like, how difficult it was, because, I mean, I've conquered the smoker and all that, and that seems like the next territory I want to dive into, but...
I don't think it's difficult. You just need the equipment.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you have a question about open fire cooking, we're joined today by John, Doc Sconzo, Josh Coletto, and Michael Lappi. And they're all involved in the Fire Feast at the Farm event at Pitney Meadows in Saratoga Springs on August 1st. All right, August 1st rolls around. It's a nice day. What time do we start?
The opens to the general public at 6.
No, what time do you guys start?
Oh, we start early.
Yeah?
Probably the night before.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, we are starting the night before because all the chefs will be in town. We'll be at the farm doing the prep work, setting up. Some things will need a greater lead time than others, like cooking the whole pigs and whole lambs.
And how long will that take?
Ooh,
whole pigs, maybe 12, 14 hours. A lamb doesn't take so long on the cross, maybe 5 hours or so.
And the fires will start well the day before, very early?
And Not in all the pits. Just,
no?
Just probably the one that will need the most lead time are the pigs.
And how do you regulate the temperature on the fires?
More or less wood.
But I mean, you know when it's ready to go?
You just kind of... Sometimes people have infrared thermometers that are like a little thermometer gun. You point and it shows you what the temperature is, where you're pointing it. And sometimes if you do it a while, you just kind of can feel it.
What brought you into this line of work or this sort of area of your line of work?
I was working in kitchens for a long time, and I like being outside more than I like being in a kitchen. And with fire cooking, you can really do it anywhere. At all.
But do you want to do that in the middle of February in the Northeast?
Yeah, if there's a big enough fire.
How about you, Michael? How'd you get to this point?
It's been a progression. You know, I started working at restaurants in the Hudson Valley, and then me and my wife owned Church of Maine for 6 years. And
why'd you stop doing that?
When the 2009, when the economy failed, it kind of wasn't worth it.
You're right. Too much work for not enough.
Yeah. But I grew to know a lot of farmers in the area and really appreciate knowing the people that I was getting the food from. And that's really kind of how I want to continue this. And that's why I value my position right now so much, because I deal with farmers on a daily basis and it's all education.
Does knowing the farmers make for better food?
I think so. I think knowing where the food came from and the farmer that produced it makes it a lot more delicious to me.
Hmm. How about you, Doc? How'd you come to this event?
Well, I'm not a chef. I'm actually a physician.
But you like food. Are you a physician?
That's where the doc comes from.
You're kidding me.
I've actually earned
physician
it.
Physician of what?
I'm an anesthesiologist.
You're kidding me.
No.
Why didn't you bring some? So that's great. So
you want an operation?
So you're involved. Well, you're involved with the charity aspect of this.
Yes, I'm actually on the board of directors of the Pitney Meadows Community Farm. I'm the vice president.
Well, you've learned a little bit about food along the way.
A little bit here and there. I mean, food's a passion of mine. It has been for a long time.
I would imagine it would take some anesthesia to actually eat a steak that's been right on the wood.
You'll be surprised.
Well, our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, if you have a question. And once again, if people want to find out more about the Fire Feast at the Farm at Pitney Meadows August 1st, how do they do that?
They go to eventbrite.com and search for Pitney Meadows or Fire Feast on the Farm, or they go to pitneymeadowscommunityfarm.org online, and that, or look for Pitney Meadows on Facebook.
All right, fair enough. Oh, on Facebook as well.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so what are these over here? These are apples?
Those are some pickled apples.
Pickled apples?
Yes, those are actually from the Chatham Children's Garden in Chatham, New York. I had those, just another local product I wanted to bring by for people to try.
I've never had a pickled apple before.
What do you think?
It's like a beet. A little bit?
I guess.
And what do you pickle this with?
That is just pickled in a little vinegar. There's some onions in there, a little jalapeno.
You can taste the onions.
Yeah.
So you like the spice, do you? Because the carrot was a bit of a surprise.
This was made by children.
Really?
Yes.
This was actually pickled by children?
Yes. It was a project at the community garden there.
You got to tell me that before I eat this. But it's actually pretty good. So well done, kids. And if I get sick, it's on you.
The number here.
Oh, that's right. Do some quick surgery. That's good. And so they let you out of wherever you practice to do this event.
They did.
That's very nice. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. I see Peter on the line. I guess we're having some trouble with Peter. Peter has been on and off the line. Let's go to Peter in Albany. You're on.
Listen, I'm sorry. I hung up earlier, and you were talking about charcoal and hardwood and putting steaks on hardwood.
Yeah.
And I read an article about a Cuban hardwood exported to America, and I wondered, apparently you can get it online, and I wondered if anybody there knew anything about it.
I'm sorry? Explain?
A Cuban hardwood.
Huh.
I'm not so familiar with any Cuban hardwood.
Why would you need to get Cuban hardwood?
Well, apparently there's a Cuban invasive species that is incredibly hard, and they're starting to export it to Miami and not Miami, but the U.S. and it's supposed to be incredibly hard, and I wondered whether or not you knew anything about it.
Get closer to the mic.
Yeah,
for your non-answer.
I don't know anything about it, but typically we're grilling with local hardwoods here.
Sounds interesting, though.
Yeah, does sound very interesting.
Yeah, there's a root apparently that they're having very much difficulty in eradicating, and they found out that they could make charcoal out of it and are starting to export it. But I guess take a look at it.
All right.
And maybe next week.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Thanks for the heads up.
But in general, you just use whatever hardwood you have available. And how much wood will you go through during an event like this?
We might go through 2 cords
really?
Of wood at this event.
And does it have to be seasoned, or can
you
chop it down and use it?
Seasoned is always better.
What's in this?
That's a fragola and a variety of different mushrooms. That's from Nick Ricciuto from Pex Arcade. He's one of the chefs involved in the Fire Feast.
I have to get a separate bowl because you'll be doing the podcast after this.
Yes.
And if I eat right out of the bowl, Dave Hopper, who does the podcast, will be quite upset with me. But I will try that in a moment. Our number here is 800-348-2551. So do you forage as well?
Yeah, definitely. That's something that I've been doing for, 15 years now.
How'd you get into it?
My father used to pick puffballs and oyster mushrooms and things like that. And, being in the restaurant industry, you become aware of things like, say, chanterelles. Like one day I was, walking through the woods and I realized that what I'd stumbled across, and I contacted a couple experts, and, got some books and I started learning more about foraging plants and mushrooms. And every year I pick up new species of plants and mushrooms to my repertoire. And I always, you know, but it started off, you know, very slow. But, you know, I've gotten to the
point. You really need to learn when you're doing that.
Yeah, I do a lot of, you know, research and studying.
I got to say, this is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Now, how many different mushrooms are in here? The hazelnuts are a great touch.
So I believe there's three different types of mushrooms in there. There's a maitake, and there's a king oyster, and I believe a shiitake with a fergola, which is a Sardinian couscous.
Yeah, and Nick's a talented chef.
Yes, very much so.
He's really good.
It's really delicious. Really delicious indeed. And you've been foraging a long time, too?
More so in the last few years I've gotten into it. You know, my girlfriend teaches me a lot about foraging as a wilderness educator, and Michael teaches me a lot about foraging.
Have either of you ever gotten sick from foraging things?
No, you know what they say is...
Knock wood. All right, let's go back to the phones, and Kate in Beckett, Mass. Kate, you're on.
Hi, I have a question about morel mushrooms.
Okay.
They grow in my yard. What's the best way for me to... I get quite a few, and they go bad, so... What's the best way for me to cook them and then store them?
Preservation? You can pickle them, and they pickle really nicely. They also dry really nicely and rehydrate nicely. Both of those, you know, preservation methods.
I have a dehydrator. It hadn't occurred to me at all.
Yeah, and once you dehydrate them, the flavors intensify. And then you hydrate them, and then you have a broth with that mushroom flavor, and they have more of an intense flavor.
I always like to...
Awesome. Next year, you'll definitely dehydrate them.
Go ahead. Hey, what's your address?
don't do that over the phone, Kate.
I have friends who call me every year, and my son keeps telling me, if you let them have any, I will be so mad.
don't give them away.
Josh,
I don't. Thank you so much.
You bet. Josh, you were going to say.
Yeah, I always like preserving my morels in butter, so I'll... melt some butter, put the morels in, leave it around 200 degrees, let it cook until they're nice and soft, and then just cool the butter, and then you can put that in the freezer.
Okay, I was going to say, because butter will eventually go bad, but you have to freeze it at that point.
Yeah, but once you make that, it's going to be hard. It's not going to last
almost
that long.
Like a morel confit. Yeah.
Morel confit, and then you just store it in the butter and put it on everything.
That sounds delicious. Well, these pickled mushrooms are really delicious.
Yeah.
And let's go back here quickly. We only have a couple of minutes here, but let's go to Charlotte in Oneonta. Charlotte, you're on.
Yes, hi. One of you was mentioning potatoes and throwing them just onto the fire.
Yep.
And it was very nostalgic. When I was a girl growing up in Long Island, way, way back, 50-odd years ago, you were allowed to burn leaves. And my mother, we were seven kids, and we would have all of the neighborhood would put potatoes underneath the leaves, light the leaves, and let them cook as we continued raking. And then after I don't know how long, we had roasted potatoes, and they were black on the outside, but they were delicious.
Well, that's great.
That's a great story. That's awesome.
Cooked right in the leaves. Well, you can't do that anymore nowadays, eh?
No. Oh, no. You can't do that today.
Like so many things, we can't do that. But, Charlotte, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for
bye
listening.
Bye.
Have a great weekend. Well, we're almost out of time here. So let's find out once again. Now, the Pitney Meadows event is August 1st. It is Fire Feast at the Farm. And you guys are on Facebook.
Yes, we are. And it's Pitney Meadows Community Farm is the main Facebook page. We have an event page as well, which you can get to from the main page.
All right. And well, let's find out. Heirloom Fire, how do we find out more about that, Josh?
You can check that out on Facebook, Instagram. There's a website. Anywhere, just search Heirloom Fire and it's bound to come up.
Fair enough. And Michael Lappy, how do we find out more about your, I assume, enrollment's going on for Cobleskill now, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Enrolled in Cobleskill. It's a wonderful school.
You know, we had a couple of scientists here yesterday from the Science Forum.
I always tell the culinary department that we should be on Food Friday more. You know, come on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, so you're just going to invite yourself on the program?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right, fine.
I would definitely. Yeah.
All right, well, you know what? We'll let you back on.
All right.
Doc, you on call this weekend?
I am on Sunday.
You are?
I am.
Ugh, it's got to be tough.
It is.
Sunday's usually football day, right?
Not yet.
But I mean, how do you do that during the football season?
Just gotta bear with it.
That's all right. Soon enough, it'll be retirement time. Hey guys, thanks a lot for being here. We are just about out of time, and thanks to Michael Lappi, Josh Coletto, and John Sconzo for joining us today. To learn more about the Fire Feast on the Farm, there is a link on our website, and it's at Pitney Meadows in Saratoga. Go to WAMC.org, find the Food Friday page, and you'll find out all about it. Support comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at their recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals, gloriosaco.com. And Big Elm Brewing at 65 Silver Street in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Tap room open Thursdays through Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m. BigElmBrewing.com. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks again for joining us. We return on Monday for a Medical Monday. Alan will be here, so tune in at 2 o'clock for that. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Stand by now for news.